Lawmakers aren't too satisfied with a White House proposal to change the federal employees' health benefits plan. House Oversight and Government Reform members yesterday wanted more details and data from the Office of Personnel Management. Still, committee members expressed the belief that the 50-year-old law that created the FEHBP is in need of a major update. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now with the potential sticking points to make those proposals a reality. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So first, tell us what the changes the White House would like to see in the FEHBP.
Well, as part of the 2014 budget request sent to Congress earlier this week, the administration actually offered up three major changes, and I'll go through them very quickly. They included opening up the plan to regional insurers. Right now, it's just national insurers, but the state and local governments and other industries offer have that option for what they call regional PPOs. OPM also would like the ability to negotiate the prescription drug prices as a government as a whole versus within each individual insurer. They also want to offer domestic partner coverage. That's called the self-plus-one option. And that also includes people, for instance, if you grew up, you had a family of four or six, and the kids moved away, and it's just you and your husband or you and your wife, that's a self-plus-one as well option. And then the third one, and this is also very interesting, it allows a healthier employees actually to pay lower premiums. So if you smoke, you may pay a higher premium. Jonathan Foley is the director of planning and policy analysis for OPM. He says the law created in the FEHBP in 1959 has not kept pace with the times.
Missing from the current mix are regional plans that are widely available in the commercial market. If these regional plans were available, FEHB enrollees would benefit from having greater choices that represent best practice in the private sector and more closely resemble product combinations available to private employers and state and local governments. It is important to emphasize that this proposal would not require that OPM contract with every health plan that applies to participate in the FEHB program. This proposal would simply provide OPM with the ability to consider additional plan types and contract with plans only when it is in the best interest of the FEHB program and its enrollees.
Now, Congressman Tim Walberg from Michigan says the program is seriously hampered and cannot respond to the needs of the marketplace.
Due to the lack of authority for OPM to entertain scores of new and different insurance products, the program has stagnated. There are roughly 50% fewer carriers participating in the program today than in 1990. Many federal employees and retirees, depending on where they live, have limited options to choose from. Many of the latest plan designs and innovations in healthcare management are not available to either OPM as the administrator of the plan or federal employees and retirees as participants in the plan. For all these reasons, opening up the FEHBP to greater competition and therefore greater choice will serve the federal government, federal employees, and retirees and taxpayers well.
Now, Walberg says most of the reforms outlined in the budget will give the FEHBP the necessary tools to increase competition and lower costs. OPM's Foley estimates, for example, changes to the prescription drug program could save $1.6 billion over 10 years, and changes or the addition of the Employee Plus One option could save another $5.2 billion over the next decade.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So, Jason, what about the proposals concern the House lawmakers?
Well, similar to Walberg, I think committee members were believe time has come for an update, but they want OPM to take what I'll call a more tempered approach to improving the program. Congressman Darrell Issa is the chairman of the committee. He wants both Congress and the administration to be sure that savings are real before moving forward with this effort.
The proposal itself inherently is good. Let's open up the process. Let's recognize that artificial, historic definitions need to be gone. I do believe that although I'm willing to support a law change that would create a regional opportunity and certainly a law change that would create a greater opportunity for nationals to come in, I believe that as you go back today with the proposals from us, that you need to answer the question of are you willing to go through a process that says you can only do any of these if there is a finding scored by CBO or found by GAO to be an actual saving.
ISA says the history has shown that just trusting the word of the agency, or in this case, his case with the administration, that there are savings just isn't good enough. So he'd like to see maybe some pilot programs demonstrating how the regional PPOs or self plus one or prescription drug changes would work first. And then he'd also maybe like to say have an independent body review, maybe a third-party expert's review in terms of how much money is actually being saved before they actually spread it, implement it more widely. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton from D.C. expressed concern that OPM is trying to go in two different directions with these proposals. On one hand, you have the prescription drug plan that they're trying to take advantage of a large number of members by getting better prices. But on the other hand, with the self-plus-one option and the regional PPO's option, she believes that the government actually could be losing the valuableness of that large pool to get better prices. Now, OPM's Foley says there are fewer pharmacy benefit managers to deal with when they negotiate drug plans, so they're still negotiating from a volume area. And he says, listen, OPM's not trying to create these regional pools, but the regional carrier, no matter where they are, the prices will still be based on the entire size of the federal membership.
And so what's the reaction from insurance carriers themselves and also the employee unions to all these ideas?
They were mixed as well, and I think that and for some there was more direct. Blue Cross Blue Shield, the American Federation of Government Employees, were not too excited about any of these proposals. However, the United Healthcare and another insurance company actually was more excited about the regional option. Let me start with Blue Cross Blue Shield. I think the main reason they didn't like the proposals is it could potentially cost them business. Now, Thomas Choate is the chief growth officer for United Healthcare. He says one plan, and he didn't mention it specifically, but I'm pretty sure he was talking about Blue Cross Blue Shield, doubled their market share from 30% to 62% of the federal workers over the last three or four decades, while the second largest plan has about 7% of the market. He goes, with a 55% differential between the first and second place person in the market, that's not a lot of real competition. Now, AFGE's Jacqueline Smith says the problem is less about the changes per se and more about how OPM has been lacking information or discussion.
All right. We'll have more at federalnewsradio.com. We've been speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, our executive editor. Jason, thanks for that report.
Thank you.